News Talk Breakfast. In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
But one of the big questions that people are talking about is the mandatory quarantine that people are calling for people travelling into Ireland without proof of being COVID-free, and also tighter north-south border controls. What do you make of it, Shane? This is really the conversation on COVID, where it's going now, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's a difficult one, and you're absolutely right. This is where this is going, and I think it is going to happen, and I think it probably does need to happen. My reservation is this, Ciara. We are probably the most open economy in the world. Our entire economy depends on trade. It depends on transport. And if we do this, and I'm not saying we don't need to do this, but if we do this, how long are we doing it for? And who picks up the tab? I mean, I'm looking at figures in the papers today. 45% of people in Kerry, half the population of Kerry, are on COVID supports at the moment. That is a county incredibly dependent on tourism. And if we're saying we're going to shut down Ireland Inc., how long are we doing it for? If COVID, as the UK's chief scientific advisor, is going to be with us forever, and if travel restrictions, as the Professor of Public Health in Edinburgh said over the weekend, are going to be around for at least another year or two, what happens to places like Killarney and Bundoran, and what happens our FDI? That's where I'm nervous.
I think in response to that, the people of Kerry are not on the PUP because of the lack of international travel. They're on the PUP because the economy is shut down in this country. I think, unfortunately, we're going to have to get
real. Tourism is a factor, though, Ciara.
Yeah, but I was in Dingle on my staycation. The place was hopping. You couldn't get a bed. We can drive domestic tourism if we're not going anywhere. The thing is this, Shane, we need to get real. The new variants are a game changer. We saw that in December that the UK variant was less than 10%. It's greater than 60% now. That's how transmissible they are. They have driven out old COVID when they have gotten in somewhere. We're lucky enough, we don't have the Brazilian, we don't have the new the South African here at the moment. But here's the thing, it isn't just the transmissibility. There's very scary stats coming out on them that they look like they're 3 to 4 times more lethal than the COVID we have been dealing with. So COVID that we have been dealing with, let's remember, has a death rate of 0.4%. These could have somewhere between 1.3 and 1.9. That is frightening, frightening stuff. And we don't really have a choice. Our hospitals are almost overwhelmed. Our economy is shut down. Our lives are shut down. If we don't do this, if we don't seal our borders, we could be facing into a vista that is way worse than where we are now. And the economy will not recover if we are all of us overwhelmed and possibly catching COVID for the second time at that stage. And bear in mind one last thing. The North is 10% of the North has been vaccinated. We're on about 2% here. They're going to relax ahead of us. I know that we're on much of a muchness now, but they're going to relax ahead of us. They vaccinated 500,000 people on Saturday in the UK alone. Our vaccination programme is currently a shambles. They are going to relax, and they are our back door into our country. We are in trouble here, and people don't even realise what these variants are going to mean. I think we have to ask the question out there to our listeners. What do you want to see happen? Do you want us to seal the borders, including the border with the North? 53106 at a cost of 30 cents. I don't think we have a choice.
Okay, let's get the view of Aoife McLeish, Professor of Genetics at TCD, Trinity College Dublin, and a member of that independent scientific advocacy group. Aoife, I'm assuming you're in favour of mandatory quarantine. Is 5 days enough in your view?
I'm in favour of quarantine, and 5 days isn't enough, unfortunately. I agree with most of what you and Ciara were just saying there. You know, we're in a problem, I mean, a very deep problem at the moment. And the economic hardships that people are suffering is not because travel quarantine is there, because it isn't effectively there. It's because the pandemic is what causes all the problems. Unfortunately, 5 days isn't enough, because what we know now about this virus is that the incubation period can be longer than that. And so in Australia, actually, they experimented, you know, they tried around with different kind of quarantine regimes and testing and these days and things like that. And they settled on 14 days as being the most effective one. It isn't even 100% effective. Some people take longer than 14 days for the virus to turn up in them in terms of the test, but it catches 98%. And so they decided that was sufficient measure, considering all of the balances. I think at the moment we are in a very deep crisis, and I think it's appropriate that we do everything we can. And quarantine is a very important tool in our kit.
How long for, Aoife? I mean, the point I was making, and look, you know, there is a need for this mandatory quarantine, but how long for? If COVID is going to be with us forever, are we looking at a year or two of these restrictions? And where does that leave our economy if that is the case?
So how long it needs to be done really depends on the effectiveness of our response. So quarantine is only one of the things. And I know we're talking about that most at the moment, but we really have to use everything we can. And so if we're quarantining to stop importing new variants and just new cases, as you've been talking about, you know, some of these new variants are very worrying or potentially worrying. So what we do in the meanwhile is in the country, we get the cases really low by the other means. We allow the public health doctors to chase it out and we vaccinate our population, but we do it in comfort. So the one thing that I would disagree on there in terms of the comments that were made before I got on was about the UK vaccination program, because they have kind of rushed it. I think the Irish vaccination program has been going very well. I think it's been done well in the whole. We've got 2% of our population vaccinated for their first jab in quite a short amount of time. In the UK, because they were under such pressure, they changed the vaccination schedule and they're only doing the first dose for everybody or for most people and not giving the second dose at the recommended time, you know, just a couple of weeks later. And that has its own risks. And I mean, it might be okay. Maybe it'll be okay. And I hope it is. But they're kind of improvising on the hoof, you know, because they are in such a bad situation. And there's a risk with that, that it does contribute to the origin of vaccine resistant strains. Now, I don't want to make people overly scared, but I do want to say we're doing well.
Okay, just before you go, I have to ask the question about, and it's the tricky one in all of this, the border with Northern. What do we, and we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. What do we do about the border? Because there are tens and thousands. I'm not sure there's loads of people going across the border needlessly at the moment. There's loads of people who are doing work on both sides of the border who are travelling. Like, what do we do there?
So I think the people you're talking about there, the people who are kind of crossing the border as part of their daily lives, those people aren't usually travelling enormous distances. They're not people going from Kerry to Belfast.
No, they're not.
They're people travelling shorter distances. And those kind of everyday type interactions can be accommodated. And you can have kind of a bubble and you can have people who are recognising that this is part of their normal working life is to do that. When we are at the situation that people are going to work, at the moment it's stay at home if you can anyway, for everybody, north and south. But those kind of things are what we talk about as we start coming out of crisis, which I sincerely hope we do as fast as possible. You can talk about these kind of everyday type interactions, which are just kind of hopping either side of the border in a relatively short distance. That's very different from people going long, long distances. And I think that can be recognised. I mean, obviously, the ideal is that we get some kind of cooperation, because that would be complete solution. And I think, I mean, we all know that, I mean, there's been difficulties in getting agreement, but I think people are really recognizing that this is a very deep problem. And, you know, whatever about the differences, we have a lot in common in terms of we all have family, we all have parents and older parents and people that we want to protect.
Okay.
So I hope those commonalities can
Let's hope so. Aoife McLeister, Professor of Genetics at Trinity College Dublin. Thank you for talking to News Talk Breakfast this morning.